From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of February 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Secretary of Agriculture says the biofuels industry is losing public and political support because it has not been doing a good job of promoting itself. And a new estimate of Brazil's soybean crop has lowered prospects for this year's harvest. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and then we'll explore again the topic of crop insurance with Gary Schnitke. We'll go back through his thoughts on the RP plans with and without the harvest price exclusion. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed, with the wheat futures higher for the afternoon. Nearby March contract up 4¾ cents to settle at 6.45¾. The May at 6.52¾, 11½ cents higher. And July wheat today, $6.63½, up 10½ cents. July in the hard red from Kansas City at $7.02¼, up 5¾. March corn futures were up 3¾ at 6.44½ on a Monday afternoon settlement price. May at 6.48½, up 4½, and July 6.50¾, up 4¼. September corn $5.87½, down 0.75¢. And December futures, the new crop $5.57, down a penny for the day. Next year's March at 5.67 from the corn pit, down 1 cent as well. March soybean futures again today, up 14¾. Settlement price at $12.93¾ in the lead option. The May futures at $13.25. Up 15¾, and July $13.10½, up 15¼. August $13.03½, up 14 cents. September $12.91, 12½ higher, and November beans $12.81¼, up 10½ cents. Bean meal futures at $3.40.90, up $7.30. Bean oil at $54.46, up 17 for the day. And the Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures finished at 127.55, and the February on the day unchanged. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. April live cattle futures at 128.62½ were down 87½ cents. The March futures there at 156.45, down 1.22½, and April contract at 159.52½, and the feeder cattle 75 cents lower. Lean hogs today at 88.65, down $1.07½. In the April, the May futures at $97.70, $1.02½ lower. Outside markets finished the nearby crude oil at $108.61 a barrel. Actually still trading. That's on a delay, down 10 minutes. Down $1.16. Ethanol futures at 223.9. That's 0.3 cents higher. Natural gas at 244.6, 10¼ cents lower for the day, and the diesel fuel down 3½ at $3.28¼. Gold futures at $1,773.60 settled down $1.50, and the dollar at 78.56 is up 0.21 on the day. The CRB index at 325.09, that's down 0.82. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 44 degrees with a northwest wind at 8 to 13. It'll gust all the way to 18 tonight, partly cloudy, and a low of 27 with a north wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. On Tuesday, a 50% chance of showers. Afternoon, mostly cloudy, a high of 48 degrees with a southeast wind at 7 to 14, gusting to 21. And Tuesday evening, showers, possibly a thunderstorm, low of 44. East-southeast winds around 15 miles an hour, becoming southwesterly. Winds on Tuesday could gust as high as 21 degrees. The chance of precipitation Tuesday night set at 90%. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast closer to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
The markets led higher, at least in the bean pit today. Maybe on news out of Brazil that they were not going to have quite as good a crop as some had expected. Is that right, or are there other things happening?
Well, it's combination of things. One is the headline news, which you indicated there. A couple of number crunchers put out a little smaller production number, particularly Brazil. They've taken some of the numbers down to 68 million metric tons, and that one went down to 69.9 million metric tons. That's about 1 million to 2 million metric tons below what they projected last month, so the crop continues to shrink some more here. Then secondly, we see signs that maybe China or Asia particularly is going to be in the bean buying mode again here shortly, so that propelled some buying. Then thirdly, we saw some speculative money looking for a home in the grain sector, and we saw quite a bit of fund buying materialize today also, Todd.
So when you take that all into account, what do you think it means for the marketplace, if anything, for the longer term, and that can be 1 or 2 weeks or a couple of months?
Well, the news is so erratic and trades wanting to jump on the headline news, so it depends what some of this news items come out. But here, over the near term, the momentum continues to be higher for the bean complex. If you turn back the clock 2 to 3 weeks ago, we had a head and shoulders bottom. So we've in a process of fulfilling some upside objectives here. The May beans were able to close above the 50% retracement level, and it projects maybe another 25, 30 cents to the upside here. So everything's good in the bean complex here. Demand's good. Speculative interest is good. So the momentum continues to be the upside dominant feature here. As beans continue to be the leader here, helping to pull corn and wheat with it here.
So corn futures, let's move to that. Nearby March contract up 3¾ cents to settle at 644.5. I haven't looked, but I suspect there's enough overs out there that might have hit the magic 650 number on the cash price in a few places. Did farmers, in your opinion, move any corn today?
They've been pushing a little out the door here, but as a whole, producers have been fairly tight holders. I think $13 cash bean bids out in the countryside bought a lot more beans versus the corn. But no, 650 is an area here. We'll see some more cut loose. The thing is that corn sort of been grinding sideways here over time. Corn starting to look like the bean chart did a couple weeks ago here, where we're sort of carving out a head and shoulders bottom here. Technically, if the corn market can push above the 660 level basis of the May contract, we should see maybe some more speculative buying come into the market here. But corn just seems to be lagging here due to the beans. And so we continue to watch this corn market chop sideways here for a while.
Can you take a go through the thought process? If corn is actually... If corn puts in this technical bottom, a head and shoulders, and we're at really still fairly high levels, actually very high levels for cash corn, and for in particular the old crop, new crop at high levels as well, what are fundamental reasons that it might move upward from here? What things can happen?
Well, several things to look at. One on the old crop particularly is that this demand starts to pick up here and continues to remain strong with a strong basis level that indicates that that really hasn't gone away yet. So overall demand is the one to push the market higher in through here. The other thing would be weather. As we move into this growing season here, there's some short moisture supplies, especially Minnesota and the Dakotas. I know they're getting some snow here, or a little bit of moisture to help them out, but that'll be the feature here to sort of bring in some more speculative buying. The big negative, though, is been well advertised, it's been well thought out, is the new crop acreage on corn. There's ideas set 94 to 95 million acres. When you put some trend line yields on that, it can push carry out, you know, to 1.6 plus. But, however, though, if you just do a little bit better than last year, say put 150 bushels yield on it, and you raise demand just slightly, carry out's not going to grow a whole lot. So this yield thing's going to be a real important factor as we go down the road. But if you go back in history, 2007, 2008, we had 1.6 billion bushel corn carry out, and number-wise, plenty of supply, but yet the market rallied $4 a bushel up to $8, Todd.
Indeed it did. Tell me about feeder cattle and the beef cattle market in general. Still awfully high prices, and it looks like we'll be expanding the herd.
Well, we're going to try to. Some of the guys feel we're not going to get a whole lot of expansion until we get more into 2014, 2015. We kind of feel this fat market around 130 is a little rich. Feeders, 160 is probably a little rich. The big thing is, as you well know, is gasoline prices. As gasoline prices move higher, the fear is domestic consumption could erode further. So we're still depending a lot on the export market here to take up the slack here, what we're not consuming domestically here. Overall, sort of buying some time in here and see how the overall economy goes and see if we see U.S. consumers go back to buying higher price cuts.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Very good, Todd. Thanks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report. And everything in between. Make sure you do drop by there. And don't forget that while you're there, you can always check in and see what it is that we have in our weekend newsletter. Now, you know you didn't get one over the weekend. That's because Dave Dickey was on vacation, and he writes that particular newsletter. My thanks to him for doing that, in fact. And we do appreciate the time he takes. It's an awfully good letter. If you have not signed up for it, please do so right now. You can do that at willag.org. Just go over to the right-hand side of the page and look for our Weekend Ag e-letter and hit subscribe. It's just as easy to get back off that list. Go back and hit unsubscribe. It's all right there and part of the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media and willag.org. Speaking of Dave, he'll be here in just a few seconds with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House Ways and Means Chairman Dave Camp, a Republican from Michigan, has scheduled a hearing on Wednesday with the lead-off witness, U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk, expected to field questions on a wide range of trade policy questions. Camp has indicated that the panel will be interested in the progress of the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations, especially in light of the many issues that are coming to the fore as a result of the desires of Canada, Japan, and Mexico to join the talks. Republicans on the committee will also want to quiz Kirk on the progress of the yet-to-be-implemented free trade agreements with Panama and Colombia that Congress approved last year and President Barack Obama signed on October 21st of 2011. The committee also is expected to question Kirk on the administration's plans to reorganize federal agencies that are responsible for trade, as well as whether the administration plans to seek trade promotion authority from Congress. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says the biofuels industry is losing public and political support because it has not done a good job of marketing itself. Vilsack says the industry should stop playing defense in most of the cooked-up controversies over renewable fuels, including the myth about ethanol using up corn meant for food. Vilsack says that ethanol is not taking away corn meant for food because American farm productivity is up due to efficiencies. Ag Rural today says that Brazil's 2011-12 soy crop, now being harvested, is estimated at 68 million tons, down sharply from the 70.2 million tons it forecast in January. Brazil's grains crops have suffered from a harsh drought in the south of the country. The World Bank and Chinese researchers say that China needs a new economic strategy after three decades of rapid growth. The recommendations in a report on development of the world's second-largest economy through 2030 come amid debate in the ruling Communist Party over the future course of reform. The report's emphasis on curbing state industry clashes with Beijing's strategy over the past decade of building government-owned champions in fields from banking to technology. The report calls for Beijing to open state-dominated industries to private competition, including areas deemed strategic, such as energy. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm Yule via Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org, on your smartphone at m.willag.org, or just dial this number, 217-333-3434. Now, up next, you know farmers will soon make those crop insurance decisions, and one of the choices they'll make may be to take or not to take the harvest price exclusion on the revenue protection policies. I'll have more on the differences that the exclusion makes. There are several types of federal crop insurance policies, and farmers can spend time exploring them and their potential benefits on the FarmDoc website from the University of Illinois. Gary Schnitke, an ag economist at Illinois, helps take care of that site and has been asked recently about the differences between the revenue protection policies, in particular RP, with and without the harvest price exclusion.
And what we in particular compared to was RP with exclusion with a 5% higher coverage level. Reason why we selected that was because they basically have the same premium. RP with exclusion, 5% higher, has the same premium as RP at a 5% lower. So RP 80% basically has the same premium as a RP with exclusion at 85%.
The premium is just about where the similarities ends on these two policies. They are designed to protect revenue in different ways, says Gary Schnitke.
You would take RP with exclusion at 85% if you were more concerned about price declines, because you have a higher guarantee, and it's not. And if you have a higher guarantee, you'll kick in premium or payments at a higher price. So if you're worried about higher price declines, you'll get paid more with the RP with exclusion than RP, given that you have a 5% higher coverage level.
The trade-off for using RP with the harvest price exclusion is that if prices go higher and yields go down, then RP would make payments.
A good example of that is if we had a 1988 happen again. RP will make much higher payments than RP with exclusion. So you sort of have, you know, if you want to stay in that same price range, you either emphasize lower prices or years like 1988.
So to recap, the revenue protection policy with the harvest price exclusion will be more likely to cover losses if prices decline. The revenue protection, or plain old RP, will cover losses if yields decline and prices increase. Schnitke says those farmers prone to hedge at least 40% of their crop prior to the harvest should probably use the RP policy.
And the reason for that is because where some of your hedging losses will occur, or those years in which you have hedging losses, will be those in which prices go up and yields fall. And RP will pay more in those years and offset some of those hedging losses.
Overall, says Schnitke, it suggests farmers desiring more price protection may wish to use RP with exclusion, while farmers wanting more yield protection would choose RP. Again, RP is designed for farmers who hedge production during the pre-harvest period. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Please do visit us online when you get the opportunity. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between.
Support for stock and commodity reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
It's a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Michael Yeoman is on the phone line. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And tell me about movement. Anybody deciding to pick up and move a few soybeans or corn today?
Yeah, we definitely saw some farmers selling on the old crop side for both corn and beans. In the overnights, we traded a little bit lower. Beans definitely led the way, though. We made new highs, and I think five-month high on beans. Corn ended up about 3.75 on the March board at 6.44.5. May ended up 4.5.
How close to 6.50 is your cash bid?
We're actually over 650. We're paying 12 over here in Champaign, and we're at 656.
Oh, so you probably did get some movement then. When did that happen?
We've been bouncing over 650 on our cash price ever since the markets have been fluctuating in the 625 to 650 range on the futures.
Right.
So corn, not a whole lot of new highs on cash prices, but beans were definitely making our way up to 13.
And you were buying. Were you buying, making new
purchases
today?
We were buying both out of DP purchases as well as March purchases.
Your expectation that soybeans will stay strong at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely above some key points today. We're looking at 12.91.75 on the board being our last resistance point, and we closed higher than that, I think, with concern over the South America crop and whether China is in the market. So,
do you suppose there are many beans left out in the countryside?
I think if there are, we're going to see a lot of them be moved at 13. I think some guys are still holding on. There's better carry in beans and corn, but I think it's slim.
All right, and your bids for the day?
On old crop corn, we're at 6.56. New crop corn, we're at 5.32. Old crop beans, we're at 12.87. And new crop beans were at 12.51.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks, Todd.
Michael Yeoman is with the Andersons. He's located right here in Champaign County. Helped us take up the agricultural cash grain markets this afternoon during the closing market report. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to look at the agricultural weather forecast around the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. We'll talk with the people at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. They're up there high above the skyline on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On this day in agricultural history in 1841, Henry W. Longfellow published his famous poem, The Village Blacksmith. The smith, a mighty man, is he, with large and sinewy hands, and the muscles of his brawny arms are as strong as iron bands. In 1879, saccharin, an artificial sweetener, was discovered by Constantine Fahlberg and Ira Remsen at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. They discovered saccharin while working on coal tar derivatives. Saccharin is 300 times sweeter than sugar, and for years was found in products as varied as toothpaste, diet soft drinks, ice cream, beauty products, and pharmaceuticals. In 1936, on this date, Ivan Petrovich Pavlov died. Pavlov's work with dogs actually started as a study of digestion. He theorized that digestion was controlled in part by sensory inputs of sight, smell, and taste. Of course, he's best known for his work on conditioned reflex, and he did more than ring a bell. He also experimented with whistles, metronomes, gunshots, and tuning forks. And in 2001, a new outbreak of foot and mouth disease swept across a cattle and sheep farm in Devon, England, raising the fear that the disease had reached mainland Europe. The outbreak of 450 cattle, 1,300 pigs, and 250 sheep vindicated an EU decision to stop all animal movement. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Time to check the weather forecast. Josh Darr with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd, how are you today?
It's a nice day outside, and I'm pretty happy on February. We're almost to the beginning of meteorological spring, aren't we?
Starts on Thursday, and it's going to be an interesting start to meteorological spring, particularly across the northern plains, not so much across the core of the Midwest, but storm system coming on shore across Southern California as we speak will move quickly across the Rockies and then be a pretty big snowstorm across the northern plains, portion of the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota into Wisconsin, while blizzard watches and while eventually blizzard warnings, up to a foot plus of snow in those areas with significant winds. And so winter is certainly not over in those neck of the woods. They have another storm with the potential for another round of blizzard-like conditions Friday into Saturday across Minnesota, Wisconsin. Further south here across the core of the Midwest, fronts will be coming through. We will have periods of rain, but overall temperatures will stay above freezing for the vast majority of the belt, save northwestern Iowa, which also could get into some light of the snow accumulations late this week. But it's going to be a classic early March pattern with storm systems coming through. Good day-to-day variability in temperatures, but overall no major snowstorms for the heart of the Midwest here over the next 10 days to 2 weeks from a snow standpoint.
Will it do much in terms of rebuilding soil moisture content in those places that have been light so far this year?
That's a great question and certainly one that's on everyone's minds. These storm systems are in the perfect location, and they are going to be pretty strong precipitation producers, so it should put a big dent in the deficits that have been building across a good chunk of the winter here in the northwestern Midwest, the spring wheat belt. So it certainly is a beneficial situation. The short-term snow issues could raise some problems in logistics for cattle, particularly in northeastern Nebraska, southern South Dakota, but long-term for crops, it's certainly beneficial.
You know, we talked a great deal early on about the problems that Argentina was having with their weather. That has abated to some extent, but had done the damage to the crop. And then this morning, we heard some news out of Brazil, at least from one crop watcher group, that they thought that the crop was smaller than expected. Would you agree, based on the weather that you've seen in those areas?
Well, Argentina certainly, no question, it was one of the most troublesome starts to the growing season. The heat they had early in the season certainly took yield off. And then southern Brazil, too, dryness right during the equivalent of our July and early August certainly caused some issues, and not surprising to hear some estimates of trimming yields. As you look now, though, at South America, the weather is certainly more favorable. So whatever has been done has been done, and there's not a lot of harm of, in terms of weather upcoming to delay harvest progress or round out double crop soybeans.
Josh, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.